Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Father Robert Nixon, and this is The Commentaries series on Abandonment to Divine Providence by Jean-Pierre de Quissade. Today is day 4 of our series, and today we're going to be examining Book 1, Chapter 1, Sections 7 through 9 of this wonderful work. And in this work, he talks to us about a number of very important things. He gives us a succinct description of the attainment of peace, of a way of estimating different degrees of spiritual excellence, and finally a very interesting section called Sanctity Made Easy, which I think is a very striking title, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about that. And we begin now with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Loving Father, you guide all of our steps. Your providence governs our lives with order, with wisdom, and compassion. Help us to trust fully in that providence, to surrender ourselves to it, to submit to it, to abandon ourselves to it. Through the aid of your grace, we ask this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, until now, we've gone through the earlier sections of Chapter 1, Book 1, and here he's told us that sanctity basically consists in abandoning oneself fully to the divine will at every single moment of our life. He talks about how each moment presents its own particular duties, requirements, sometimes where to pray, sometimes where to read, sometimes where to do whatever our job might be. Sometimes, of course, where also to rest and relax or whatever. But whatever is appropriate for that particular moment, whatever is the right thing to do at that moment, is ultimately God's will for us and is therefore the means of our sanctification. And this might be in sometimes very difficult things, but other times, you know, very mundane, very run-of-the-mill type of everyday activities, that's where we're going to find that sanctification. And he's given us the example, above all, of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we know, you know, that her life, from what we read in Scripture, there are like not that many outstanding events taking place. Of course, there's the flight to Egypt, the Annunciation, and so forth. But on the whole, her everyday life, which was her means of sanctification, she was completely abandoned and obedient to the will of God in that. And so now we're continuing on this theme, and the abandonment of ourselves to divine providence is the key to attaining true peace. And he tells us that there is no solid peace except in submission to the divine action. The soul that does not attach itself solely to the will of God will find neither satisfaction nor sanctification in any other means, however excellent, by which it may attempt to gain them. If that which God himself chooses for you does not content you, from whom do you expect to obtain what you desire? If you are disgusted with the meat prepared for you by the divine will itself, what food would not be insipid to so depraved a taste? No soul can be really nourished, fortified, purified, enriched, and sanctified, except in fulfilling the duties of the present moment. And I think this is very important. You know, sometimes we can immerse ourselves in spiritual wishful thinking, and not be content with what really is at hand for us, what our real situation, what the present moment at any given point in time is asking for us. And wherever we find ourselves at any moment, we should be confident that that is the will of God for us. We're there because God wills us to be there. We have a certain responsibility or duty at any given moment because God wills us to have that responsibility or duty. So rather than kind of looking further afield or seeking to plan our own life, to allow the planning of our life to be in the hands of God. Of course, this doesn't negate the fact that sometimes we need to make decisions and so forth. But on the whole, we are where we are because it's where God wants us to be. And accepting that is the key to finding true peace. If you think about it, if we believe that God is omnipotent, then it follows that whatever He wills is actually the present reality for us. So it behooves us to surrender ourselves to that present reality. If we find ourselves fighting against the will of the omnipotent deity, how can we ever hope to find peace at all? And going more on that, he says, what more would you have than what God has given you already? As in this, you can find all good. Why seek it elsewhere? Do you know better than God? As he ordains it thus, why do you desire it differently? Can his wisdom and goodness be deceived? When you find something to be in accordance with this divine wisdom and goodness, ought you not to conclude that it must needs be excellent? Do you imagine you will find peace in resisting the Almighty? So if we see the will of God as prevailing in all things, then we need to accept them rather than seeking to adjust them to match our own will. Of course, this doesn't mean that God ever wills sin to take place or evil, because these things by definition are contrary to the will of God. But sometimes he wills that we put up with evil. Sometimes he desires that we suffer injustice. He doesn't will the injustice, but he does will that we are subject to it from time to time. And in the acceptance of that is how we can find our peace. He says, it is only just, therefore, that the soul that is dissatisfied with the divine action for each present moment should be punished by being unable to find happiness in anything else. And I think this is very true. If a person is not content with the will of God, then they'll never be content with anything. In becoming content with the will of God, in abandoning ourselves to it wholeheartedly, we find a kind of instant peace, which I think is a legitimate goal for each Christian soul to pursue. And he says, there is nothing, in fact, really good that does not emanate from the ordinance of God, and nothing, however good in itself, can be better adapted for the sanctification of the soul and the attainment of peace. So the will of God manifested in each moment we live. Next, he talks about degrees of excellence, and meaning degrees of spiritual excellence, of course. He says the perfection of souls and the degree of excellence to which they have attained can be gauged by their fidelity to the order established by God. So this is the one great way of checking how well we have walked this path of sanctification, how much we are surrendered to the will of God, how much we abandon ourselves to it, to fully embrace it. And he tells us that the duties of the present moment, these duties are the most clear manifestation of the will of God, and nothing should take their place. In them there is nothing to fear, nothing to exclude, nor anything to be chosen. The time occupied in the fulfillment of these duties is very precious and very salutary for the soul, by the indubitable fact that it is spent in accomplishing this holy will. So if we believe that the will of God is manifested in our duties of the present moment, by fulfilling those, we're advancing on the path of sanctification. And there's nothing which can rank higher than fulfilling the will of God in that way. Even if what we're being asked to do at any particular moment is something small or trivial or tedious or difficult, there's actually nothing better for us to do. So if our state in life requires that at a particular moment we vacuum the floor, that's what divine will is asking. So it's better to vacuum the floor at that moment than to go and read scripture, because that's not what our duty is at that time. Now, of course, when De Clissard was writing, he was writing for a society which had a very clear sense of duty, pretty defined sense of people's social state and so forth. Perhaps we have more freedom these days, so we can moderate this somewhat in recognition of the fact that we do have choices, which were perhaps not so much of a part of life for the people to whom he was originally writing. For the nuns who he was writing to, they would have had a pretty strict timetable of what they should have been doing at any time and place. But the same also for different degrees to people in other situations in life. And I think it still holds true to a large extent for most people most of the time. And now, moving on to section 9, where he gives us a very interesting title, Sanctity Made Easy. And this is a conclusion to the first chapter of Book 1. I believe that if those souls that tend towards sanctity were instructed as to the conduct they ought to follow, they would be spared a good deal of trouble. I speak as much of people in the world as of others. If they could realize the merit concealed in the actions of each moment of the day, I mean in each of their daily duties of their state of life, and if they could be persuaded that sanctity is founded on that to which they give no heed, as being altogether irrelevant, they would indeed be happy. If, beside, they understood that to attain the utmost height of perfection, the safest and surest way is to accept the crosses sent them by Providence at every moment. That the true philosopher's stone is submission to the will of God, which changes into divine gold all their occupations, troubles, and sufferings, whatever, what consolation would be theirs. And I think this is a wonderful thought, that the fulfillment of our daily duties is the surest, safest, and easiest way of sanctification, because it's God Himself who has determined the daily duties of each given moment. And if we do those, then God asks of us nothing more. And he continues, O my God, how much I long to be the missionary of your holy will, to teach all people that there is nothing more easy, more attainable, more within reach and the power of everyone than sanctity. How I wish that I could make them understand that just as the good and the bad thief had the same things to do and to suffer, so also two persons, one of whom is worldly and the other leading an interior and holy spiritual life, have, neither of them, anything different to do or to suffer, but that one is sanctified and attains eternal happiness by submission to your holy will in those very things by which the other is damned, because he does them to please himself, or endures them with reluctance and rebellion. And that's a wonderful example he gives there of the two thieves on the cross. Of course, there's the repentant thief, known as Saint Dismas, and then there is the unrepentant thief. And his name is not so well known, but according to tradition, his name was Gestas. And both of them basically lived the same life, and both of them ended up suffering in the same way by dying upon the cross. But one became a saint, and the other one, you know, didn't. And what was the difference? One of them accepted, he abandoned himself to the will of God. He said, well, we're getting here precisely what we deserved, and he turned to God with absolute faith. The other one, who was suffering exactly the same thing, continued to be rebellious in his heart and defiant in his thoughts, and this led him not to a place of happiness. And we think, which of those thieves would we prefer to be? So basically, you know, life is more or less the same for everyone. It's just the attitude we take to it, whether it's of abandonment of ourself to the divine will in our state of life, or whether it's a kind of resistance against it. To use an expression from scripture, is it kicking against the goad? So rather, we should surrender ourselves to the divine will. And in doing this, we will find peace in this present life, we'll attain sanctity, and we will achieve eternal happiness and glory in the world to come through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this brings us to the end of day 4 of our study of abandonment to divine providence. Thank you so much for listening to me on this journey. And we're going to continue with our next podcast by delving into chapter 2 of book 1. And we'll be looking at the first few sections of that. And he's going to be talking about how this divine action is continually at work through us in every single thing which we do. And until then, may Almighty God bless you. Thank you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support the commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including Abandonment to Divine Providence and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.